Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll learn what cat emergencies need immediate attention. We'll get the latest about Lyme disease and are probiotics right for your pet? Let's start with 11 cat emergencies that need immediate vet attention. Some cat emergencies come on suddenly and are overt, but others start off vague. Here's how to recognize an emergency situation and when to bring your cat to the vet ASAP. Dr. Eric Barkus of Catster says, "In my role as an emergency veterinarian, I treat some very sick cats, and I also meet some cat owners who feel very guilty. They wonder whether their cats might not have gotten so sick if they had recognized earlier that a problem was developing. Although some cat emergencies come on suddenly and are anything but subtle, it is true that many others start with vague symptoms. It's certainly true that early recognition of subtle emergencies will improve the chances of a good outcome, but owners should not feel guilty if they fail to recognize these subtleties. Cats don't come with warning labels, and a person who doesn't know the symptoms can't be expected to recognize them. And by definition, subtle symptoms are hard to recognize. For instance, I owned a cat, including two males, for 25 years before I knew that any urinary irregularity whatsoever in a male cat could be an emergency. Some helpful hints for determining cat emergencies that need your vet's attention ASAP. The following list is designed to help you recognize cat emergencies that always warrant an immediate trip to the vet. However, it is not exhaustive, and you may find yourself in an ambiguous situation not covered on the list. If you are wondering whether you need to get out of your pajamas and head to the emergency cat vet, in such a situation, there are some guidelines you can follow. One useful indicator of cat health is the color of the gums. Lift your cat's lip and look at his gums. They should be pink and moist. Check them regularly, and you'll get a sense of what they look like normally. If you suspect your cat is sick and the gums are pale, gray, blue, or bright red, then your cat most likely is in trouble, although you should be aware that your cat might still be in trouble even if the gums are their normal pink color. Remember, as well, that you are always free to call your vet or local emergency clinic to talk about any ambiguous situation. The staff should be able to offer guidance. Finally, remember that when in doubt, it is always safest to have a vet evaluate your cat. A physical exam that reveals nothing wrong causes no harm. Nothing done about a critical situation can lead to a fatal outcome. Now, let's list some of the most common and serious feline veterinary emergencies. First is difficult breathing. This is the most urgent emergency any individual, cat, dog, or human can face. Death occurs after 3 minutes without breathing, so cats with breathing difficulties are on the edge of disaster. Breathing problems in cats can be hard to recognize at first. Symptoms to watch out for are heaving sighs, breathing with the mouth open, coughing, wheezing, abnormal respiratory noises, and the catch-all appearance of breathing funny. Second is abnormal urination in male cats. This has the potential to be a symptom of one of the most serious cat emergencies any feline faces, urinary obstruction. This condition, which is fatal if not treated, occurs when cats are unable to urinate. For anatomical reasons, it occurs almost exclusively in males. Cats with the condition suffer agonizing pain, and then rapid progression to kidney failure, potentially bladder rupture, and high blood potassium levels that cause cardiac arrest. Initial symptoms may be subtle. Affected cats may urinate outside the litter box, strain but produce only small quantities of urine, vocalize or groom their genitals excessively. Therefore, any male cat with any urinary irregularity whatsoever should be checked by a vet immediately. Be aware that female cats with urinary irregularities also should see the vet. They are not likely to die from the problem, but they are likely to be suffering from discomfort that warrants treatment. Next is signs of severe pain or obvious distress. Bring your kitty to an emergency vet immediately if you notice this one. Pain itself always warrants treatment, but it also can be a sign of more serious problems, such as urinary obstruction or aortic thromboembolism. Symptoms of pain and distress include vocalizing, howling, panting, hiding, and overreacting to contact with a painful area. Next is sudden paralysis of the hind end. While we're on the subject of pain, we should discuss an emergency that is among the most painful events that can happen to a cat, aortic thromboembolism, or ATE. ATE is a complication of heart disease in cats in which a blood clot lodges, usually in the rear legs. It causes sudden paralysis of the hind end. Affected cats usually will pant, vocalize, and show other signs of distress. It requires immediate veterinary attention. Next is stopping eating and/or drinking. A cat who won't eat often means serious trouble. It is not normal for any individual to go a full day without eating when food is available, and not eating can be a symptom of kidney failure, complications of diabetes, and intestinal obstruction, and a cause of major health problems like fatty liver. Next is protracted vomiting and/or diarrhea. This is among the cat emergencies that require immediate veterinary attention, especially when blood is present. Almost all cats occasionally yak or have soft stools, and such incidents usually aren't emergencies. But cats who vomit repeatedly or have blowout diarrhea should see the vet immediately. Next is known ingestion of toxins. Ingestion of toxins such as Lily or antifreeze should be treated immediately. Rapid action can dramatically improve outcomes in many different types of toxicities. Profound lethargy or collapse. This should trigger an urgent trip to the vet. Profound lethargy often manifests as not moving, hiding in one room for a protracted period, and not reacting to stimuli, such as the can opener or the dog, in a normal fashion. Next is seizure. Although a solitary seizure is not likely to be life-threatening, owners should be aware that seizures often come in clusters that get worse over the course of several hours. They also can be a symptom of exposure to toxins such as mold or low-quality flea control products. Cats who suffer a seizure should go straight to the vet. Major trauma. This should always trigger a veterinary visit. Owners of cats with gaping wounds or massive hemorrhage usually know this intuitively. However, sometimes cats who have fallen from height, been hit by cars, struck by garage doors, or attacked by large dogs can have major internal injuries yet appear unharmed after the incident. Anytime you are aware of such an occurrence, your cat should be checked out. And finally, fights with other cats. Cats who have been in fights with other cats should see the vet sooner rather than later. Cat fight wounds are relatively easy to treat with antibiotics if they are caught early. If a delay occurs, an abscess may develop that requires anesthesia and surgery. Cat owners should remember that the above list is not exhaustive. It is not possible to list or even imagine every type of emergency situation that a cat might face. I wish to reiterate that if you are in doubt, you should call a vet or simply go to the vet. Next. Ooh, and now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. In the spring of 2018 edition of Pet Tales, Andy Yastrobo, DVM, explains which essential oils can be good for your pets and which to watch out for, whether they are ingested or even in the air. As essential oils are being used more every day for humans, some may ask about the impact they have on a cat or furry family members. I was introduced to essential oils just over 3 years ago when my wife and I were struggling to find a safe way to manage her chronic pain. There were claims that essential oils would help in more ways than just making us smell good. In our research, reading the scientific literature and then through experimentation, we found that essential oils helped not only manage pain, but also helped with digestive issues, allergies, and alertness and calming. As a veterinarian, I like to understand why things work and do not work and how I can apply insights of human medicine into veterinary medicine. In our own use of oils, we discovered that lavender and cedarwood helped to calm our dog. This is done by diluting the essential oils and applying them to our hands, and then rubbing them on her paws and behind her ears. We found that our dog loved to lick oils off of us when we applied them to ourselves, which led me to look into which oils are not safe for pets. In my research, I found that certain oils can be harmful or even deadly when used on our pets, especially if not used in an appropriate manner. Be cautious with these essential oils: camphor, cinnamon, clove, melaleuca or tea tree oil, oregano, thyme, and wintergreen. These oils can cause upset stomach and skin irritation, to difficulty breathing, and kidney disease if used inappropriately. It is also important to use oils from a trusted company. I choose to use a company that has all of their oils sent out for independent testing by the FDA and states on the label that the oil is safe for oral ingestion. Purity is a common concern of over-the-counter supplements and medicines that are often not regulated by the FDA, such as essential oils. With my food allergies, if I get into something I am not supposed to, I ingest a handy mixture of lavender, peppermint, lemon, and an orange clove blend to settle my symptoms within minutes. Due to the independent testing by the FDA, I know that these oils are what they claim to be, without impurities that could cause harm. Many people, myself included, diffuse essential oils for their effects. Dogs, cats, and especially birds are much more sensitive to aerosoled particles than humans. Even though you do not apply an essential oil to your pet, they are still receiving the effects if they are in the same room as the diffuser. These effects can be helpful or harmful. When using a diffuser, I never shut the door to the room I am in so that my dog can leave if she wants to. When applying essential oils to my pets, I use oil to dilute them. Good options are coconut oil, olive oil, or lotions that are approved for pets. Some studies point out that one drop of oil can be equivalent in potency to 26 bags of tea. Essential oils can be very concentrated. The smaller the pet, the more essential oil needs to be diluted. As with anything, do not always believe what you read on Dr. Google or blogs. Instead, go to the research and trusted sources for information. This article is not designed to be an instructional on how to use these essential oils, but rather a suggestion that if you do use them, do so with caution. Also from the spring 2018 edition of Pet Tales, Allison Collier, DVM, gives us the latest on Lyme disease, diagnosis, prevention, and management. Why is it important? Borrelia burgdorferi, the infectious agent of Lyme disease, is transmitted by the Ixodes tick. The prevalence of Lyme disease varies depending on location, but is increasing in prevalence in the Rochester, New York area. What causes it? Lyme disease is transmitted by this tick, aka the deer tick. Not all ticks can transmit Lyme disease. Deer ticks need to be attached for a minimum of 24 hours for transmission to occur. Not all deer ticks carry Lyme disease. Prevalence depends on geographical location. Approximately 95% of infected dogs never show clinical signs from the infection. Therefore, not all tick bites can result in Lyme disease. Possible clinical signs. As discussed, the majority of dogs infected with Lyme disease do not show clinical signs. However, Lyme disease can result in disease in the joints and the kidneys. It is recommended to monitor for any fever, anorexia, shifting lameness, swollen joints, enlarged lymph nodes, and seek veterinary attention if this is the case. Making a diagnosis. The first line of diagnosis is typically with a 40X SNAP test, a blood test. This tests for antibodies in the blood. Therefore, a positive response indicates exposure and not necessarily infection. When a positive response is seen, it is typically recommended to monitor for clinical signs and protein in the urine, a test that your veterinarian can perform because not all infections result in clinical signs. If any clinical signs or protein in the urine develop, your veterinarian would recommend treatment. Treatment, typically for animals that are Lyme disease positive and showing clinical signs, a course of antibiotics is recommended for treatment. Lyme disease prevention. As Lyme disease is transmitted by ticks, preventing tick exposure is one of the best ways of prevention. Various oral, topical, and collars provided by your veterinarian are available for flea tick prevention. Please discuss with your veterinarian which product would work best for you and your pet. Due to climate change and warmer weather, your year-round tick prevention is advised. Lyme vaccines are also now available. Please discuss this prospect with your veterinarian of your pet receiving a Lyme vaccine with your veterinarian, examining your pet for tick exposure after coming in from outside can also help recognize ticks before they have been attached for a significant amount of time. What if your pet was bitten by an enlarged deer tick? What do you do? As discussed, not all ticks carry Lyme disease and not all infections result in clinical signs. Therefore, if your pet was bitten by an engorged fed deer tick, the recommendations are to either monitor for clinical signs of Lyme disease for 6 months or perform antibody tests now and again in 6 months to see if any antibody levels increase to suggest infection, or submit the tick for analysis for Lyme disease. Discuss with your veterinarian which option would be best for you and your pet. Next, should you give your pet probiotics? Allison Ashton, in the June 2018 edition of Well Balanced, says the latest research finds that gut health is just as key to animals' well-being as it is to yours. If you've paid more attention to your gut health lately, you might want to take a closer look at your pet's microbiome, too. Just like with people, pets' gut health is the cornerstone of their overall health, says Angie Kraus, DVM of Boulder Holistic Vet in Colorado. As with human medicine, veterinary medicine is beginning to understand the link between an animal's gut bacteria and its immune function, brain function, and even mood. This whole area is getting a lot of interest and research on the veterinarian side, says Joanne Morrison, DVM, a small animal internist at Banfield Pet Hospital in Portland, Oregon. I think in the next few years, we'll see an increase in what we know about how probiotics help animals. What we know now. Although there's general consensus that probiotics are helpful to pets' overall health, current research is investigating the effects of specific bacterial strains on specific conditions. The strongest evidence supports probiotics in the treatment of digestive ailments. Emerging research suggests gut bacteria also might play a role in arthritis and anxiety. We know that what's in the GI tract has an important impact on pets' weight and blood sugar, says Morrison. Researchers from Nestle Purina Pet Care Company are looking into how the balance of proteins and carbohydrates in a dog's diet affects its gut bacteria and weight. Digestive issues typically are the first sign an animal's microbiome is out of whack, says Morrison. Some medications, such as antibiotics or steroids, also can throw off an animal's bacterial balance, Kraus adds. Smart probiotics. Probiotics are a hot trend in pet nutrition. Morrison and Kraus both recommend checking with your vet before starting your pet on a probiotic supplement. There are a lot of supplements out there labeled probiotics, says Morrison. One of the challenges with probiotics is that they have to get through the chewing and digestive processes. There are a lot of hurdles that they have to jump through to get to the GI tract. High-quality supplements typically have more than one strain of beneficial bacteria, she adds, and the higher the colony-forming units, or CFUs, the better. It's also popular for pet food companies to boast probiotics on the label, but Kraus notes those bacteria are unlikely to survive the digestive process. Instead, check the label for safe for pets prebiotic ingredients, foods such as apples and bananas that feed healthy gut bacteria. Kraus advocates fermented food for pets and offers an online course teaching owners how to make simple fermented carrots, blueberries, or kefir to add to animals' food, but skip the sauerkraut from a can, which might contain off-limit ingredients such as onions and won't have as many powerful probiotics as home fermented fare. And from PetMD, summer safety tips for pets: avoiding heat stroke, dehydration in dogs and cats. It's summertime and the living is easy, or so goes the Sam Cooke song. Summertime means fun, sun, and hopefully lots of play outdoors. But as much fun as summer can be for you and your pet, there are a few safety tips that will hopefully make the warmest of all seasons safe and carefree for all concerned. Avoiding heat stroke, dehydration in dogs and cats. Provide plenty of water, plenty of shade. Dehydration in dogs and cats is a real possibility during the summer, especially if your pet is the type to run and play outside for extended periods without drinking sufficient water. Telltale signs of dehydration include dry gums, loss of skin elasticity, excessive drooling. Don't let it come to this. Give your active pet plenty of playtime breaks in the shade with access to fresh water. Don't leave Fluffy in the car. You may think leaving your pet in a car for a few minutes is no big deal, but it can quickly lead to heat stroke in dogs and cats. In bright sunshine, your car acts like an oven, becoming much hotter inside than even outside. In fact, on a sunny 70-degree day, your car can heat up to over 100 degrees within minutes. So either take your pet with you or leave him or her at home during shopping trips. Watch for unknown grassy knolls. Pets love to run, play, and just investigate grassy areas, but did you know many lawns are treated with fertilizers and pesticides during the summer? Keep your pets safe this summer by keeping them off unknown grassy areas, or find a safe spot in your neighborhood or city like a dog park. Remember, not all grass is created equal. And avoid antifreeze. Even though antifreeze is something to watch out for year-round, cars tend to overheat more and leak antifreeze during the summer. Pets find it delicious, and even in very small amounts, antifreeze is poisonous to dogs and cats. So be attentive when walking your dog around the neighborhood or letting your outdoor cat roam the streets. And finally, eco-friendly dog and cat products, green and recycled pet supplies from Best Friends Animal Society. The state of the environment is a hot-button issue, and current concerns about global warming, water scarcity, and environmental toxins have forced Americans to take a hard look at their lifestyle and identify ways to save the planet. And save money, too. And going green is not just for people anymore. Many pet lovers are looking for eco-friendly dog, cat, and other pet products. If you are concerned about your pet's carbon paw print, consider the following ways that your furry friend can go green. Organic and natural pet foods. Just as the organic and natural foods movement has been gaining momentum, feeding pets an organic and or more natural diet has become a popular choice among pet owners. Before you decide to switch your pet from a conventional to an organic or natural diet, however, it is important to understand what these terms mean. Natural pet foods are minimally processed. They tend to retain most of their nutrients and have few added fillers. Natural pet foods are unregulated, though, and do not have to adhere to strict standards. Conversely, organic pet foods have to meet standards set by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and cannot include artificial or genetically engineered ingredients, preservatives, ingredients treated with pesticides, or ingredients from animals treated with hormones or antibiotics. Despite the natural and organic designations, buying more wholesome green food for your pet can still be a confusing process. Here are some additional tips for assessing the quality of a particular dog or cat food. Read the label. Avoid pet foods that contain byproducts, chemicals, and preservatives if possible. Look for pet foods that list premium ingredients first, such as chicken, salmon, or beef. Look for certification from the Association of Animal Feed Control Officials, or AAFCO, or for a reference to human-grade ingredients. A number of small businesses cater to the organic pet foods market, and many have websites where you can order their products online. You might also want to consider cooking food for your pet yourself. However, before you decide to go green with your pet's diet, consult with a veterinarian to ensure that your pet will be getting the complete nutrition he or she needs. DIY pet toys made from recycled materials. Here are a few examples of economical and green pet toys. A rope toy made out of braided strips of old fabric. A treat puzzle made from PVC pipe. Water bottle put inside an old sock. Toy tied to the end of a stick, a DIY version of the flirt pole. Empty boxes for animals to play inside, jump in and out of, or hop over. And environment-friendly pet grooming and cleaning products. Using non-toxic and earth-friendly grooming and cleaning products for your pet is another way to be green and improve your pet's health. Many conventional products contain toxic and potentially harmful chemicals that can have unwanted side effects and may cause diseases, including cancer. When shopping for your pet, consider purchasing products that contain natural ingredients or are certified organic. And you can also find cat litter and dog waste bags that are gentle on the earth. You can find the entire article and more information at bestfriends.org. And that'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.